it seems that Jerusalem has always been a city that is on edge. Even today, there is an air of tension in the city that is almost palpable. Everyone seems to be a little on guard, for the threat of conflict is ever present. Storm clouds seem to always linger on the horizon. It doesn't take long for even a visitor to discover the complicated reality of Jerusalem's existence. How could it be otherwise for a city that is central to three faith traditions and two different nations? You don't have to look very hard to see that Jerusalem is indeed a city on edge today, just as it was in Jesus' time. As Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, conflict had already been brewing between him and the religious leaders of his time. That conflict would reach a new level of intensity as Jesus was greeted by the crowds in Jerusalem as a prophet and a king. It quickly became clear that Jesus' ministry, in fact, his very life, was a threat, not only to Jewish religious authorities, but also to Roman political leaders. But nothing they did could stop the message of peace and the promise of love that Jesus came to share with the world. So let us begin our journey through Holy Week on this Palm Sunday with the story of Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for the word of God. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Will you please join with me for a moment in a spirit of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it is hard to know exactly what the disciples would have felt as they followed Jesus from the Mount of Olives down into the valley and then up again to the city of Jerusalem. We can guess, though, that they didn't have to look very far to see signs of tension. The city would have been surging with life, filled to capacity and then some with the 250,000 pilgrims who arrived to celebrate the Passover. There was no social distancing then. Jews from nearby towns and faraway lands all came together in one place to remember their people's story of salvation and tell again how God freed their ancestors from slavery in Egypt. They came together to celebrate freedom in their holy city, a city that was then occupied by Roman forces. So it was a tense time, those days in Jerusalem, as Roman soldiers lined the walls of the temple and stood ready to quell any riots and squelch any hints of political rebellion. The disciples surely would have noticed that the city was on edge. The increased tension in Jerusalem during the days and weeks leading up to Passover always necessitated that the Roman official of Judea would have to leave his home in the coastal town of Caesarea to take up residence in the city for a time. Now imagine what Pontius Pilate's entrance into the city might have looked like as he came through the gates of Jerusalem surrounded by Roman soldiers and flags and weapons astride a magnificent war horse in case the flags and weapons and troops weren't a sufficiently intimidating display of power. And then imagine an entrance of a different sort happening right around the same time. Instead of horses and soldiers and flags and weapons, Jesus entered the gates of Jerusalem on a donkey, surrounded by a ragtag group of followers that included tax collectors and fishermen, lepers, and prostitutes. And yet those faithful followers threw their cloaks on the ground before Jesus as if they were greeting a king. They cried out for salvation, saying, "Hosanna, save us." Jesus was indeed their savior. He was the Messiah, but he was a Messiah of a different sort. Even though his disciples had followed him to mountaintop revivals, even though they had feasted at miraculous banquets in the fields, even though they had experienced his healing touch and listened to the gospel that he proclaimed, even though they had been through all of that preparation, so many of them still misunderstood who Jesus was. Jesus was not an earthly king bent on political power. He came instead as a messenger of peace, bent on reigning not on a throne, but in the hearts of God's people. And he came to proclaim God's love, a love that favors the weak and the vulnerable, the hungry and the hopeless, the hurting and the broken, the sick and the sinner. He came with a message of peace and a promise that God's love was for all people. And that message was a threat. It was threatening to those with religious authority and those with political power. It was threatening to those who cared about status and wealth. It was threatening to anyone who was invested in drawing lines and making rules about who was in and who was out. Jesus threatened all of those things. But those who felt threatened were wrong in thinking that they could defeat peace with violence and fear, that they could destroy love with anger and hate. Jesus' resurrection affirms that God's love is stronger than hate and God's life is stronger than death. That will be the refrain of Easter. But we are not there just yet. First, we have to walk through the week to come. We have to walk with Jesus to the upper room and join him at the Last Supper. We have to walk with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane and watch as he is betrayed and arrested. We have to walk with him to his trial and see his conviction. We have to walk with him to Golgotha and witness his suffering and his death. But friends, the good news of our faith is that Jesus rode into Jerusalem knowing that all of that was ahead of him. He rode into Jerusalem knowing that those loud hosannas would so soon turn into cries for his crucifixion. He rode into an anxious city in the midst of a broken world, and he proclaimed a message of peace and a promise of love. That means that Jesus can ride into our anxious hearts and into this broken world even today, proclaiming once again a message of peace and a promise of love. And that is good news. It gives us good reason to shout Hosanna with all the joy and hope we can muster, because we know that in the end, there is nothing that can ever just defeat God's peace. There is nothing that can ever destroy God's love. That is the good news of our faith. Friends, this is an unsettling and uncertain time. We are anxious and on edge. Our world is broken and afraid, which means that this is just the place, just the time for God's peace and God's love to ride right into our hearts. That is the peace and the love that will carry us through the hard and holy week ahead. That is the peace and the love that will carry us through all the weeks to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.